So we are holding on Iron Volvomid Bays, about 10 lines from the top, and the line begins Havana. Okay, we discussed, so we in the Mishnah we talked about, the first case we had was you hired some umnin, you hired some workers, and the hituzes, and they misled each other. So that led us into a whole discussion yesterday. What does it mean they misled each other? We talked about that it meant that you, the Bala boss, asked the shliach to go hire workers for you, and there was some kind of mix-up or misunderstanding or what have you of how much they're going to be paid, and we went through all of the, through a number of scenarios with that. Now, returning to that, Iboisema, we have another way of explaining the word hitu of our Mishnah. Hai Tana, Hozrunami hitu karile. The Tana of our Mishnah, when he wants to speak of one or the other of them backing out of it, he uses the word hitu. So not like we assume that hitu meant that they are coming to work, but there's a misunderstanding how much they're going to be getting as their pay, but rather that one or the other of them backed out and reneged on the deal. The workers quit, or the owner fired them, or said, I don't have work for you, as the case may be. In which case, the Ritva points out, so what would be the difference later on in the Mishnah, we say, v'chazru b'hen. So he explains, according to that, we would be saying that there's a difference. There could be two different reasons why you say I'm not going to be working, or why you say I don't need you. There could be, as we will be talking about in the Gemara, where it turns out the work is not needed, or it could be that the work is needed, but I didn't want to have you work at this price. I changed my mind. I realized I can get workers cheaper, or what have you. The time, as we learn in a Braisa, the hitras balabais, if you hire workers and they misled the balabais, which means, as we're saying, that now obviously, since there's no shliach involved over here, hitras balabais has to mean that there's no shliach involved, there's only two parties. They misled him in the sense that he expected them to show up to work and they didn't. Oy balabais hitois, or the balabais misled them, canceled the job. Ein lahem zelze elatarumis, then all they have against each other is a valid cause for complaint, but not an actual actionable thing in Beis Din. Because, Rashi says, so far as if the balabas tells them, I don't have the job for you after all, he can tell them, fine, I don't have a job for you, go find some other job. They can tell, and the same thing, if they decide not to show up, they can tell him, fine, go find other workers. It's not available, we'll see soon. But right now we're talking about the basic case, where there are other ones available and there's others. So, okay, the Tosfos talks about, in particular, why shouldn't the balabas have to pay them? Isn't there an issue of dinner de garmi over here? He directly calls them a loss by telling them, I have a job for you and I'm going to pay you X amount. And now, like this, they presumably gave up other possible jobs for that. So that's, we talked briefly yesterday that Tosfos talks about that we have to be talking about a case where they will easily be able to find another job. It's early in the morning, let's say. So fine, they'll just go back to where they were before and wait by the same street corner, and pretty soon somebody else will show up with a job for them to do. There's tarumas because they have the bother of it, but still there is that. The Ramban, we said yesterday, learns differently. He says that there's a difference whether they actually went to the job site or not. If they did, then he is in fact responsible to pay them, unless there was something beyond his control, as we will see as we go through the Gemara. But if not, if they came to the job site, and then he says, you know what, after all, I don't need you, he will be responsible to pay them kapoyo botol, as we'll talk about. And that's actually the halacha. Okay. So in this case, they have tarumas. Continues the bride. So when is this talking about? Shaloi hohu. If the workers didn't go to the job site, avol hohu hamorim v'lemosetua. But let's say, for example, you hired donkey drivers to transport grain. So let's say they went to the site and they found there's no grain available for them to take. Or poyelin umosu sodik shilacha. Or he hired workers to, let's say, dig or whatever it is in his field, and they came and found the field is wet. So it's not, you can't do the job over there. There's a field that's flooded. In that case, noisomans korim misholim, and you have to pay them in full. Avol ena dema habaton laborek. However, not when we say in full, we don't mean 100% of the amount they should have expected to get, because after all, you can't compare how it is when you have a donkey which is transporting a full load versus when you're transporting an empty donkey. That, so we mean misholim as opposed to saying that ein lahem zel zel tarumas, it means you're going to have to pay them misholim to poil bottle, as we're going to say in a minute. Or you can't compare between somebody who's actually doing work versus somebody who's sitting idle. So therefore, in both cases, what you do is you have to figure out how much, for example, let's say, with a donkey driver, how much less would he be willing to charge if he was going to be doing a run for nothing, where he's not bringing back anything, versus doing a run with
a document.
A very light load, let's say. And the same thing with the poilin. How much would he be willing to take less so that he will have a day off, basically. He'll have a day where he's not actually doing any work versus he would have been digging or whatever and then collecting X amount. And that's the amount you do. We call it later on in the Sogya, we'll be calling it kapoil bottle. Like an idle worker, which actually we had the term kapoil bottle a few times earlier. In the Masechta, we discussed different other possibilities of what it can mean. For example, we had the opinion of Rabbi Hanano that you figure out kapoil bottle as, let's say, how much would a person, let's say you had a person, he gives the example of their tailor, let's say he might charge X amount for a job when it's the busy season or when there's a normal amount of work available and therefore, you know, he has jobs, he's doing jobs on a regular basis, versus how much would he charge if right now nobody happens to be bringing him any job. So he's not going to do it for free, obviously. He still wants to make some money, but he's not going to charge the full price because, after all, he wants to have something to do. And you figure it accordingly. I think the post can say that amounts to half the usual amount that he would get. Is a maskana. Okay. Continue the braisa. Now, when is all this talking about? In the first case, there's no tarumah. All they have is tarumah. If they can easily get another job, or he can easily find other workers or whatever. This is all talking about if they didn't yet start the job. But if they actually began the job, then you have a different din. Now we'll see later in the Gemara where we discuss the pros and cons. Are the workers entitled to quit in the middle? For the moment, we are assuming, as the Gemara will tell us later, that the Tanakhama of our Braisa holds they don't have the right to quit just like that in the middle of the job, and if they do, they may end up losing out because of it. So therefore, if they then we figure out how much did they already accomplish, which would have to be what they'd be paid for, and then we have to figure out how much it's going to cost to finish the job. Ketzad. Suppose that they took a job where they are going to. Now, here we're talking, by the way, about kablonim. Here we're not talking about schira yom because schira yom, it depends how much time they worked. Kablonos, it depends what percentage of the job was done. That's the difference between a schira yom and a kablon. So here, kiblu kama liksa b'shnei tloim. So suppose they took on a job where they are going to be harvesting. They're going to be harvesting the grain and get paid two tloim. So they harvested half of it, and then they quit in the middle after having done half of it. Or let's say somebody took a job to weave a garment where he's going to be paid two sloim, and he wove half of it and then quit in the middle. Then what we have to do is we have to evaluate how much is the part of the job that they did so far, how much is that worth? We talked about in the Mishnah, and here we're going to be expanding on the premise is that at this point the amount you're going to have to pay to somebody else to complete the job is going to be more than half of what the original job would have been worth. You were originally going to pay two sloim for it, which translated into dinarim comes out to 8 dinarim. Now he did 4 of it, but now let's say you're going to find. So suppose that the amount it's going to cost to get the job finished is 6 dinarim, 1.5 shkolim, 6 out of the 8. No simlahem sela. Then what we do is either he gives them a sela. He gives them a sela. Which means Rashi explains. What we're saying so far in this braisa, actually, no, I'm sorry, I had it backwards. The Tanakhama is the one who says that the worker does have the right to quit. Therefore, we can't deduct from they did half the job. They're entitled to half of the total amount. A seller out of two sloyim, 1 out of 2. He's going to have to pay more, the balabas, in order to finish the job. Not their problem. Therefore, he has to pay them a seller regardless. Oh, you can remove them, you can them. Or they can finish the job and they'll collect two sloim, which later on in Ayin Zayin, the Gemara is going to talk about what's the chiddush in those words of the Braise. Isn't that obvious? The im sela, noisim lahem sela. And if the remainder of the work that's going to be done is worth only a sela, fine, then he pays them a sela. No, we said hoya yafa shisha dinrim. We had the one case was it's going to cost six dinrim. It's going to cost a sela and a half to get the rest of the work done. Nevertheless, he has to pay it in a sela. Then he's going to have to pay somebody else a sela and a half. He's going to end up losing half a sela. Or if the remainder of the job is only worth a sela, fine, he pays them one sela. Okay, so actually, so Agos Agra changes the gears over here and says it shouldn't be sela, it should be shekel. That suppose it's going to cost, suppose the price of labor goes down, which is what we talked about in the Mishnah, that the remainder of the job is only going to take a shekel, which is half a sela, to do. Nevertheless, he still pays them four dinarim, one sela, which is what they earned so far. So in that case, fine, he'll end up gaining, because he'll end up only paying a sela and a half for a job that originally would have taken two slaves. He doesn't have to pay them extra for the fact that they quit, but nor can he deduct from their salary. Rav Dosa says no. Shaman lahem masha osid lahem osis. No, what we have to do is we can't go according to what was done already. We have to do according to what's yet to be done. Because the poyal does not have the ability to quit in the middle like that without suffering some kind of penalty. Therefore, haya yafa shisha dinrim. So suppose that the remainder of the work is going to be worth six dinrim. Noisim lahem shekel. So that then he only has to pay them a shekel, half a sela, because that he shouldn't have to be out more than the eight dinrim that he contracted for originally. So in this case, all they're going to get is two out of four. Or you can remove and be to which nice noyim, or let them finish the work and they'll be able to collect their full two sloyim, which again later on the Gemara will say what's the chiddush in those words of the Braisa. Vim sela noisim lahem sela. And if it's a seller, or again, it's a girl makes the same change over here to a shekel, then fine, he pays them a seller. Or a shekel. Okay. Now continues the Braisa. When is all this talking about? We have the Dosa versus the Chachamim. How much do the workers end up losing? Does the worker end up losing anything at all? Or, in other words, who ends up having to pay the extra out of pocket? The balabas, or is it that the poyalim lose out? That is all talking about if it was the davar she'eino avur, something where the work is not going to be lost. So let's say, for example, okay, so far we have the cases as follows. You have the case where the workers can easily find themselves other work, or the balabas can easily find themselves other workers. Then there's only tyrumus. Then we have the case where the workers can't easily find, then we have the case where they actually started, where they can't easily find other work, and they already came to the job site. So then we said you have to pay them kapoyo bottle. Next, we have the case where they already started the job. Then we say you prorate, the Tanakama versus Rav Dosa, you prorate how much was done versus how much is yet to be done. All of that is when it's not Dover. All these various cases thus far are where it's not Dover. Ultimately, fine, the workers walked off the job or the owner fired them or whatever it is. He'll still be able to find other workers. Fine, it won't be done today. It'll be done tomorrow. It'll be done the next day. It's not time sensitive. But if the work doesn't get done now, it's going to be a total loss, like the cases we talked about in the Mishnah, bringing things for a chasener or a funeral, or taking the flax out of the soaking pit or whatever. Then socher alein imatan. In those cases, the balabas is entitled to hire other workers and charge the expense to the original owners. And we'll see later on, or we'll see towards the end of the Gemara, how high he can even go with the salary of these new workers. Or he can mislead them. Ketan matan, what does it mean to mislead them? He tells them, for example, okay, I originally agreed I'll pay you a seller, boyer tlushtayim, come back to the job, and I will end up paying you two slayim. And then at the end, he only pays them the one seller. Because it's a double, therefore he's able to do that. Vadkama socher alayhen, and, well, actually, we have right here, we'll discuss later on in the Gemara, on Ayin Ches, tomorrow, that's the Shem, what this next line means. Vadkama socher alayhen, how high can he go with hiring new workers to replace the old one, months davar ovid, adaboyim b'chamishim zuz, even as high as 40 or 50 zuz. And we talked yesterday that usually the going rate for a worker for a day would be 3 or 4 zuz. Here we're saying you can go many, many times as much. which is actually a machlokas rishonim, does it mean specifically 40 or 50? I think the Ramban takes that shita because he says up to 40 or 50, it can still be considered fine. That's it. It's a reasonable amount you might pay a worker, a really exceptionally good worker or whatever, fine. You might pay them a much higher amount, but not higher than that.
How much would it be in flood?
How much would it, well, it's four zuz to the seller. So it's four zuz to the seller. So 40 or 50 zuz, with 40 or 50 zuz would be 10 or 12 and a half seller. Yeah. So that's one way of looking at it, is when we say avoyim v'chamishim, it means only up to that amount, but not more. The other way, which I think is the ritva, says no, it just avoyim v'chamishim is just a figure of speech. It means you can go as high as necessary. If the lowest you can find is 60, fine, you go ahead and then hire them for 60 and charge it to the original workers, etc. Again, we'll see later on Ayin Ches that there is going to be some restriction on that. It's not always with a double or other that you're able to do that.
We're assuming that you started with an 8 zuz.
We're assuming that, let's say, the original thing was you were going to pay them 3 or 4 or whatever it is, zuz, yeah.
Zuz.
And now, because it's a double or other, therefore, you're entitled to be so for Alem, you're entitled to...
Or you're saying it would be like...
It would be like 10 times as much, or 12 times as much, or whatever, yeah.
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 I mean, they can't possibly... That can't possibly come out of there.
No, so that's what we're going to talk on Ayin Ches, that we're talking about, that he has Shabbat HaKabilu L'Yadai, that he has their tools, for example, he has whatever, he has possessions of theirs in his possession, that, like, they deposited by him while they're doing the job or whatever, he's allowed to hold on to those in order to, I guess,
I see a big fight coming up.
Well, okay. There is, by the way, a bit of discussion. Is all this that we're talking about, Socha, Alein, and Matan, does this only apply when they actually started the job, or would it apply even if they told them L'Hakhila they're going to do the job and then they backed out before even starting it? Most of the posts can say that in that case you can't be Socha, Alein, and Matan, because fine, they said they're going to do the job. Okay, he relied on them, fair enough, but nevertheless, they don't really have any connection with it yet such that he should be able to charge new workers to their account. Mashenkin, they started, and now the thing is going to be a dover or over. If they don't finish, that's different. Okay. And the Braita finishes off. Now, when is all this talking about? When is the Socha Alein and Matan work? Bizman she'en shampoilem lisker, when there's no other workers available to hire. Aber yes shampoilem lisker, but if there are other workers available, who could just as well finish the job, even if the dover or over, the Omar and the worker said, Teir schoma elu, so fine, just go hire one of these guys, I want out. And fine, all the Balabas has against the original workers is Tarumis, but no valid legal claim, and it can't be Socha Alein or Matan or anything like that. The Ritva, by the way, adds the detail, it seems from the Gemara, that it would have to be the original workers would actually have to point him, look, there are guys available who can finish the job for the same price. If they don't show him, then he's entitled to be Socha Alein or Matan. And if, as usual, if it ends up that there's an argument that they claim we showed you, and then he says you didn't, then as usual it'll go to Beis Din, and we'll have to see what kind of evidence there is. Yeah. Thus far, the Braita. Now let's get into it. Tani Tana Kamei D'Rav. Okay, so we said in the first case of the Braita, or actually the second case, we said that if the workers went to the job site and they found there's no job to be done, we said the owner has to pay them schor and misholim. He has to pay them the full amount, which, okay, we said not really the full amount, but to pay a bottle. So, Tani Tana Kamei D'Rav. A Tana was teaching this Braita in front of Rav, and he taught the words, noisim lam schor and misholim. They have to pay him the full amount. Omar Leis, the Rav says, I'm very surprised by that. Habibi Omar, my uncle, Habibi literally means my friend, but it's the same way as Doid in Hebrew means a friend, and it means an uncle, the same way in Aramaic. Habibi means my friend, but it also means my uncle. Rav Chiya was a double uncle to Rav. He was his uncle on his mother's side and on his father's side. So his mother and his father, there was a blended family. They were brother and sister. That would be... He married Rav's sister, who also, he had a brother from his mother's previous marriage or whatever. Yeah, so Rav's parents are just part of a blended family. They're not related to each other at all, but each of them is a half-brother and half-sister, respectively, to Rav Chiya, yeah.
Rav
Chiya's half brother married Rav Chiya's half sister from a different marriage. So the father and the mother, Ivu and Ima, are their names. The Gemara tells us in Sachin, aren't related to each other at all. But one of them has a mother in common with Rav Chiya. The other one has a father in common with Rav Chiya. And so Rav Chiya is a double uncle to Rav. Anyway, So Rav says, Chavibi Omar, Ilu Ano Havoi, if I had been there, if I had been in a situation like that, if I was the one renting, if I was the one hiring workers like that, Loi Havi Yehivna Lahan Ela Kapoil Bottle, I would only pay them like a poil bottle. So what are you telling me in the Braisa that he pays them the full amount? Now, the obvious question is, so, and the Braisa can't argue with Rukhiya. So one, I saw an interesting explanation that is actually, there was a case when Rukhiya uses the expression, ilu ano havoi, he means such a thing actually once happened to him. The Yerushalmi tells that such a case actually happened with Rukhiya, and he tells Rav, technically, they only need to be paid kapoya bottle. However, I will be machmir on myself. I'll go lefnim meshurat adin, and I'll pay them schor and misholin. So therefore, now Rav is quoting that and saying, you're making it in the braisa like it's mitzad adin, they have to be paid schor and misholin, but Rav Chiya told me that meikir adin, they only have to be paid kapoya bottle. Okay, so the Gemara asks, so what's Rav's problem? Well, Allah katani, the braisa itself continues. Ein adayim abaton, la ba reikam oitim alachal yoshua bottle. The Braisa says exactly that. They only pay the kapoya bottle. So what's Rav's problem with it? The answer is lois saimua kamei. The Tana didn't have a chance to finish the Braisa. As soon as he said, noisalam schorim misholim, like some of you guys, Rav immediately jumped in and said, what's going on over here? What kind of schorim misholim? Or, Ikadami, Saimur Kame, or another version is the Tana did in fact finish the Braisa. He did mention the Eina Doma Boto in part. However, according to the second version, Rav said something different. Chavivi Omar, that my uncle said, if I had been in such a situation, I would not have given them at all. Because, like this, they come and they don't find Tavur, they find the field is wet or whatever. It's their bad mazel. Why should I be responsible for it? So why in the braisa are you saying you at least have to pay them kapoya bottle? Okay, well, then the question is, elakasha hach. Okay, if you have a problem, so what is the din? Do you pay them kapoya bottle, or do you pay them nothing at all, like in the second version of Rukhiya? What's the story? The answer is, loy kasha. It depends whether the field was, whether the field was checked over in the evening before. So, Rashi learns like this, that Saira means that the Balabas took the workers there the day before. They didn't pay attention to the fact, for example, that the field was wet or that it might very easily get flooded or whatever. But now, when they come back the next day and they sure enough it's flooded and they can't do anything, he shouldn't have to pay anything because, okay, what were you doing coming in the morning? You should have paid attention when I brought you here specifically yesterday evening in order to check it out for yourselves. So therefore, Saira la'arame urta, then in fact they're not entitled to anything. Lois Saira urta, if they didn't check it out, he should have thought to inform them, you should know, there is a chance the field might be flooded tomorrow morning. If it is, then I'm telling you in advance, I'm not obligating myself to pay you. Therefore, if he doesn't tell them, if he doesn't warn them in advance, and they show up, then he has to pay him kapoya bottle because after all, they wasted time coming there. The Rambam learns it the other way around, actually. The Rambam learns that Saira la'ara me'urta means that the owner himself looked at it the previous evening. So if loy Saira la'ara me'urta, if he didn't look it over the previous evening, then fine. Not that that was careless of him. Why didn't you look it over and see that, then see what might be going on over there? If he looked it over the previous evening and found it was dry and it's all ready to work, and then the next morning, unexpectedly, if the workers come and tell them it was flooded, okay, what could he do? He did everything he could have. Mazochem Goram, basically. Yeah, it's not my problem. I did everything I could to make sure that I checked it out, and that's why I told you to come tomorrow morning. I myself didn't know that it was going to get flooded. Yeah. That's how the Rambam learns it. He had to Omar Rava, as in fact we find what Rava said, just such a distinction. If somebody hired workers to dig ditches in his field, or that Amnon learns that Rifka means to water the field, but also Mitra Malyamaya, and water and rain came and filled up the field with water. So if we say that Rifka means digging, it means now they can't dig the ditches because it's flooded. If it's according to the Rambam that they were supposed to water the field, well, it's been watered now. So it depends. If the field had been checked over the night before, say to the Poyolim, then it's the worker's loss because he can say your mazel was gurim. Or according to the Rambam Fakir, I looked it over, I did what I could, at this point it's out of my hands. But if he didn't check that, if he or they, as the case may be, didn't check it out the evening before, say that the ball bias, then it's considered the owner's responsibility. The other low kapoya bottle, and at that point he has to pay him kapoya bottle. Which, now why does he have to pay him? Now why is it say to the ball bias? Rashi says because the workers have the ability to say, okay, it's true, we can't work in this field, fine, but Lahore, you have other fields. Who says, as far as we know, you could just as well have hired us to work on one of your other fields, which is not flooded. And therefore, we're still entitled. If you don't want us to do that, then at least you have to pay us the coil bottle for our wasted time. Here's another case. You hired workers to water your field. According to the Rambam, actually, it would be the same case, basically, but okay. But also Mitra, and rain came, so now the field's been watered. Say to the poilim. In that case, then the loss is on the workers because rain is not something that you can necessarily predict. Tosis mentions a girsa over here that there may be a girsa belilia that rained during the night. So then it would depend on what we just talked about, side or lara or not. Like this, if you checked it over, if you didn't check it and it rained during the night, fine. There's no reason to hold them responsible. The fact is, they didn't know that it was good, that it was going to rain either. So you have two different gear stories over here, whether it's Valeria or not. Okay. Anyway. Where are we? Often Nahara, but on the other hand, if what happened was there could be a different way that the field was watered, namely that the river overflowed, and now Rashi describes the way they normally had it in those days in their fields is they would have ditches, as we were talking before, but ditches in the field, they'd have ditches, irrigation canals running in different places in the field. You'd have like one river flowing down near the side of the field or whatever, or someplace nearby. You'd have canals that are dug into various parts of the field, so that when the water level rises in the river, it'll spill over into those canals and therefore water the field. And when not, then you're gonna have to take buckets and carry them over. So like this, if the field got watered by the river rising, where again then they don't have anything to do. Then say to the balabais, then it's on the balabais, because then Rashi says the point is the balabais knows how this river works. He knows what the normal water level in it is, and sometimes it rises and goes into the ditches and irrigates the field naturally, and we don't need workers. They themselves can't be expected to know that kind of detail. Therefore, you can't say it's their fault for showing up and not considering that this might have happened, because they have no way of knowing whether this is one of those kinds of fields. Therefore, it's on him. And again, v'yarev lohu kapoyel bottle, and again, he's going to be responsible to pay them like a poyel bottle, as we've talked before. V'omar Rava. Tosfos makes another possible distinction, by the way. Here, after all, the Gemara is not mentioning the Saira or Loi Saira business. So Tosfos says, when it comes to digging ditches, for example, fine. You could argue that they didn't know that it's going to get so flooded that they're not going to be able to dig ditches. Actually, these are two different explanations in Tosfos. But one of the explanations in Tosfos is that when it comes to watering the field, most workers do know that fields typically have ditches like that. So therefore, if Osamnara, then we're saying we can't put it on them. We can't make them responsible, because in that case, then they never hire themselves out for a job watering a field, because you could always have Osamnara. Only if it rains, which after all is something that they can figure is likely that they don't have any way of knowing, then that would be the distinction that we're saying over here, whether it's say to the poilim, which in that case you can say, fine, it was your mazel, versus osanara. That's a different way that Tosfos explains it than Rashi.
Say to the poilim
means that it's on them, but when osamitra, because whereas by nara, Yeah, because by now they should realize that most
take the loss themselves.
It means, in other words, that they don't get paid anything. They came there, they found that it rained, and then he doesn't have to pay anything.
Say that the failing means
that's what it means. It means he doesn't have to pay. It means he doesn't have to pay.
And when as opposed to
no, that's what we're saying. Also, mitzvah is paid to the poilim. Also, Nara was saying it's paid to the Baal Bayis. Then he has to pay them to pay a bottle because they. That's what it is. They know, okay, they may not know that the river regularly rises, but they know when there's rain, then naturally the water level is going to rise and the ditches are going to be filled. Therefore, you can't say that he was Peshea by not taking them there in advance. They themselves know there's always the chance it may rain and our services won't be required because the ditches will fill up. Therefore, in that case, say to the Poilin, he's entitled to say to them, fine, it was your mazel. I have no control over it. Fine, you don't either, but okay, nobody has any control over it. As opposed to Asanara, where they have the ability to tell him, like Rashi said, look, we don't know how your local Nahar works. We don't know that it regularly overflows when there's no rain, and that therefore our services were needed. You should have told us in advance. You didn't. To play a bottle. That's what it is. For Amar Rava. I'm under Ogre Agudel Adapla. Here's another game. You hired workers to water your field. Uposak Nara Bapauga Diyama. And here we have the opposite. Before it was the river overflowed, now it's the other way around. The river, all of a sudden, the water flow stops in the middle of the day. Why would it happen in the middle of the day? Tosa says, the Pashto, because you have so many people taking water out of it that it may temporarily stop. Eloy Ovid Deposik. So, if it's not usually. Davla means Moloshan Dli, like to fill up buckets and water the field. So, Eloy Ovid Deposik, if the river is not one that normally stops flowing, say to the Poilin, then it's the Poilin who lose out. He doesn't have to pay them for the half a day's work that they did so far, but he's not obligated to pay them anymore because okay, it was an onus. I couldn't help it any more than you could. Eloy of a deposit, but if it's a river that regularly stops flowing like that, then it depends. Ibn a Masa, if these workers live in that city, which therefore they know in that case the habits of this river, then also say to the poilim, then it's also on them, so they also have to eat the cost, and they only get paid for half a day. Lav ne Masa, but if they're not from that city, and therefore they have no way of knowing how this particular river. And the fact that people use so much water from this river that it regularly dries up. Say to the Baal Bayis, then it's on the Baal Bayis, and he should have known. He should have warned them, you know, there's a chance that you may end up only doing half a day's work because the river will dry up. He didn't inform them. Poil bottle for the rest of the day. V'omar Rava. Haiman de Ogura Guri La Avigta. If you hired workers for work, general work, actually, you hired them for a specific job. The Shalom Avid to Bapauga Diyama. And it turned out the job didn't take all day. They finished it in the middle of the day. So, E Isle Avid to the Nichamina. If he has some other job which is easier than the original job, Yahiv Lahu, then he's entitled to give that to them. They can't say, well, you only hired us for job X. He's entitled to say that also includes any other job which is no harder than that one. Inami de Kavasa, or if it's equally as hard. Maskid Lahu, then he's able to tell them to do it. De Koshimino loy Maskid Lahu, but if all that's available is harder work, he does not have the ability to tell them to do it. They're entitled to say that we were hired for such and such work. We're not obligated to do harder work than that. And he has to pay them in full. Now, what do you mean pay them in full? I'm not even to look at the bottle. What happened to the poil bottle thing? The fact is they're only doing a half a day's work. Why is he paying them Skorim Misholim for the whole rest of the day? The answer is, Chika Omer Rava Ba'achlushi Demachuza. Rava is talking about a specific case about the workers, the trench, well, yeah, Rashi says it means actually porters. It means people who carry heavy burdens. On the side of it here, it says the Rambam says it means trench diggers. Of Mechuzah, the Eloi Avdi Chalshi, they're a special group of people. If they don't do work, it makes them weak. So if they, they expect to be doing X amount of physical labor per day, and if they don't, then their muscles start wearing away. Therefore, in that case, then in that kind of specific case, you actually have to pay them schar mishalim, the full amount that they expected to get. So now they're actually suffering a loss from not working. It's not that you can't just say kapoyo bota, we would have been willing to take a salary cut in order to not work, because like, they want to work. There's an interesting thing, by the way, that I think the Truma Sadeshan, I think, talks about in that connection. If, let's say, for example, you hired a Malamed to teach your son, and then for a few days the kid is sick, so you tell the Malamed that you don't have any work for him. That may be an example of this, because the Malamed suffers from the fact that you don't learn Torah in Tazveni Yom Yomayim Ezbeka. You don't learn Torah for X amount of time, and you start forgetting it, and therefore he's likely to push it in Mechuzah. If they're not actually working on it, then they're suffering a loss.
Interesting that they're looking at the Malamed as a independent learner. He's supposed to be thinking about the Talmud, but the Talmud is
okay. But the fact of the matter is.
Him again.
Right, but well, there is that also. But yeah, but we're talking about from the point of view of that the Malamed, it's not just he says, good, I have a break, I'm going to take it easy. No, he's actually suffering from the fact
who,
that.
Who said that?
The Truma Sadeshan, I think, says that. Okay, now let's start analyzing the Braisa. So we said before, we talked about the case where the umnim started on the job, where they were kablonim, they were hired by the job, they did part of the job, and then they quit. So we said, Shalom Lahem Es Masha Asu, we evaluate the worth of what they did so far. If what they did so, I mistranslated this before actually, if what they did so far is worth 6 dinarim, namely they did 3/4 of the job, but it turns out that it's going to take another sela, so that's what it is, it turns out it's going to take another sela, it's going to take 10 dinarim altogether to have the complete job done. Now that they quit, the only people you can find to finish the remaining quarter of the job are going to charge twice as much. I'm going to charge a seller 4 dinarim instead of 2. So we said, noisim lahem seller. In that case, you only have to pay them a seller. The reason is, Kasav Rabbanon Yad Poyolalo Yoyna. The Rabbanon hold that the worker has the upper hand. So in other words, because Poyol Yochel Lachzabay Afil Bahasiya Yoyim, I was right in the first place. If there's still six dinarim left of work to be done. They did half the job, which is worth a seller. It's going to take 6 dinarim to finish the job. You have to give them the seller. You can't deduct for the fact that you are going to have to pay six dinarim, and therefore you're going to be out an extra 2 dinarim, because the Rabbanan say Yad Per Lalo Yoyna, the worker has the upper hand. He has the ability to quit any time he wants, because as the Gemara says later on the Amud, actually the Gemara doesn't say, Rashi quotes it over here from Gemara's elsewhere. The Gemara mentions in a few places, the Jewish people are slaves only to the Eibishter, not to each other. Therefore, you can't have a situation where a person is obligated to finish a job without having the ability to quit, unless it's a davar avod, which is a special case. But therefore, you can't penalize him for the fact that he walked off the job, and now it's going to cost you more to finish the job, given that it's not a davar avod.
But if you would have stayed, it would have not been another 16.
No, so what we're saying is, the case is that they originally contracted to do it for 8 dinars.
Right.
They did half the job. So far, they've earned 4 dinars.
Right.
Then they quit. If they had finished the job, they would have gotten full 8 dinars. He would have just had to pay another 4. Like this, he's having to pay another 6.
They left off, would take another 6.
They'll take another 6. Nevertheless, he still has to give them the 4. Yeah. And we said, yigmur malachtan v'yitlu shnei sloim, or we said they can finish the job and they'll collect 2 sloim. Of course, if they finish the job, they're going to get the full amount that they said they're going to get. No, the case that with the Braita is telling us is like this. Let's say after they walked, during the course of the job, the price of this kind of work went up. The imru poyalim, and then the poyalim quit. Rashi explains that the imru comes from a word that means to separate. This is different other groups. Sorry, it's imruud, they rebelled, whatever it is exactly. The point is, they quit. But also balabais upaisinu. And now the balabas went and begged them, the balabas went and pleaded with them to finish the job. Now let's consider. The scenario over here is, again, when they agreed to do the job, originally it was going to be worth 8 dinars. They did half of it. And then they found out now the going rate for the full kind of job would be 12. So they're basically striking. They're going on strike. Why should we get only fine? What we did already is what's done is done. But the rest that we're going to do, we should be getting six. We should be getting six dinner in for.
Why six? Because
they're saying fine. The half we did already fine. Well, you know, wages only went up now, but now at least we should get the other six. So Mao de Tema Muscle Arm Relay. So you would think that they are able to tell him, Pima Faisinan, yes, when we accepted your pleas and we came back to the job, Adaita the Tapaswana Agra. We did it with the understanding that you are going to increase our salary. That yes, we're going to get what we struck for. We're gonna get the remaining six dinars. Kamash Malan, that is the Chiddush of the Braisa, that no, nevertheless, in the end, they're only going to collect two slayim, eight dinarim, Da'amalahu, because the Balabas has the ability to answer them back. When you were willing to come back to the job, that was adaita terachna lechuba achilu shia. It may have meant you didn't specify that you're only coming back if you get the higher wages. Fine, you left the job because and the fact is wages are higher now. You didn't specifically say you're only coming back if you get higher wages. You said we're leaving. I went and asked you to come back. But I'll give you more. I can just as well be that I'll give you better food and drink during the time you're doing the work. Not necessarily. Now, obviously, if they spelled out that he's going to give them more, that he's giving them more money, he has to give them more money. But like
this. Yes, the price, or you have to just say I'll give you more?
No, it would have to be the actual price. No, it would have to be for their actual price. Yeah, otherwise he can claim that I'll give you an extra donut, you know, and whatever. No, obviously we're talking.
If he says money, then fine.
You could, okay, so it means he gives them an extra penny. I don't know. No, obviously, you know, you got to spell things out if you want. Yeah. Okay. So that's the chiddush of the Braisa saying that if they finish the job, they get only two sloyim because you would have thought that in that case they would get more. Yeah, we have to give them more food. Okay. And we said sell on noisamam sell. Suppose that the value of the work they did so far is a seller, then he has to give them a seller. And again, the question is pshita, of course. Why would they get anything less than what they were entitled to? The answer is loitzricha. The zola vidta meikra. Suppose that originally, when he first hired them, work was cheap. Vagrinu b'tezuza. But when he hired them, they said, you know what? Right now, the labor market is depressed. We don't want to, so we actually are not willing to hire ourselves out for such a low amount. So he says, fine, I'll give you an extra zuz. And they agree. Later on the labor market improves, the price of labor goes up, become b'tfezuza. And now it's worth a zuz more than it was before. Now, he originally, when he hired them, said, I'm paying you an extra zuz. So Mao de Tema. So you would think, therefore, Amrile, Tfezuza Amrislan, Tfezuza Havlan. Okay, you told us we're getting an extra zuz, more than the current prevailing amount. So before it was three, therefore you promised us four. Now that the prevailing amount is four, then we expect five. That's the chiddush. Kamash Malan, the Omelahu, Kamash Malan. No, the chiddush of the Braisa is that no, he can tell them, Ki Amrilahu Tfezuza, the reason why I told you originally an extra zuz, Deloy have a Kimlahu. Because you didn't know that you're going to find anybody else who's going to pay you a seller, who's going to pay you four dinarim, four zuzim. I saw you're not willing to work for three. So fine, I said I'll pay you four. Hashta kimlahu. Now you know you'd be able to collect a seller from anybody else because that's the going rate right now. I never agreed to pay you more than that. And that's the chiddush, therefore, that even though that's the chiddush, he only has to pay them the one seller rather than five zuzim. Thus far, the Tanakhama, the Braisa. Now let's analyze the other half, the part where Rav Dosa comes in. Rav Dosa, Omer Shavon Lahanos Masha Osid Le'Osis. Rav Dosa says, we look at the value of what yet has to be done to finish the job. Hoya Yafa Shisha Dinunim Naisalam Shekel. Namely, if it's going to cost six dinunim to finish the job, then he only pays them a shekel, two dinunim, because we don't want him to be out anything extra. Because Kosova, Yabkar, Allah Tachtona. Rav Dosa holds that the worker has the lower hand, he has the worst of the deal. If he quits in the middle, then tough luck, he has to take the loss. If that's what it takes to prevent the balabots from having to pay extra. And he said, "Oyigmu malachtan viyitlush neisloyim." Or if they finish the job, they'll collect their two sloyim. Again, pshita, and again, parallel to what we said before. The case is where the price of labor went down, so the opposite of what we said before in the Tanakhama, where they started the job at the understanding that it would cost 2 shloim. Now, like this, in the middle of the job, the price of labor falls, and now it's possible to get the other half done for two dinarim, let's say. The Emir Balabais, so now the Balabas is the one who quit, the Balabas is the one who fired them, because he figured he can get other workers to finish the job more cheaply. But also Poylem, if I saw, and he was the other way around. The Poylem went and talked him into taking them back. Again, Maudetema, so you would think, Masi Amalahu, that the owner has the Balabas has the ability to tell them, Adaita de Basrisuli me Agrai, who actually, that you should have understood that when I'm taking you back, it was with the understanding that you're going to take a cut, that you're going to take a pay cut. No, the chiddush is that they have the ability to tell them that, no, we understood that you're taking us back because we said, given that it's true, any other workers you would get to do the rest of this work would charge only 2 or 3, let's say, but we're still demanding 4. Fine, we'll make up for it by doing extra good work, but not that they expect us to take a pay cut. And we said, Stella Noisaman. Stella, that Reb Dosa also says, if what they did so far, or if what yet has to be done, is worth a Stella, you pay them a Stella. Again, Pshita. Amar Rav Huna, Brezir Rav Nosson. Loitzricha. So, Zilu Inhu Gabdei, Zuzah Meikara, the reverse of the previous case in the Tanakhama, where they were willing to take a Zuz less than the usual going rate. All of a sudden, Zolavit, and in the end, later on, the labor market adjusts, and now the going rate is, in fact, the amount that they originally said. So usually, at the time when they were hired, the going rate for this kind of thing would be 8. They were willing to take 7. And now, by the time they're finishing up the job, sure enough, the average going rate for this kind of work is 7. So you would think again that he could argue, well, you agreed to take a zuz less than the going rate. Fine, now that the going rate is 7, I should only have to pay you 6, or for the half a job, whatever, 4 or 3, as the case may be. Therefore, the chiddush of the braisa, the amrilei, because that they're able to tell them, the reason why we told you we will be willing to take a zuz less, the lay have a kimloch, is the other way around, because we realize that you are not going to be willing to hire anybody at the rate of a seller. So therefore, fine, we figured, you know what, some work is better than nothing. We're willing to take 3 dinarim instead of 4 in order to get the job. Hashta kimloch, but now you know that you're able to get other workers for three zuzim. Hashta kimloch. Now you know it's possible to get workers for 3 zuz. And again, there's no need to give you a deduction of 1 zuz. We still demand the 3 zuz, which is the going rate. We never said 1 zuz less than 3. We said 1 zuz less than 4, which we understood at the time you weren't willing to pay for. But now that the going rate is 3, then that's what we want. Who is the halacha like? Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Dosa. The question is, did Rav really say that? So now remember, Reb Dosa, we said the premise behind what Reb Dosa is saying is Yad Poel Ala Chatzona. The worker has the lower hand because he had no right to quit in the middle. So the question is, Rav himself is the one who said, that a worker is allowed to quit even in the middle of the day without any penalty, again, unless it's a Dover or Olver or whatever. Which, by the way, this piece of Gemara is very negated to the whole question of striking in Halacha. So you might argue, okay, maybe Reb Dosa would make a distinction between whether you hired the guy by the period or whether you hired him by the job, because Rashi says the logic would be like this. What's the reason we say Poyo Yocholach? We say because Avodahem v'le Avodim la'Avodim. Jews are not slaves to other Jews. Well, that logically applies to a Schir Yom, somebody who you hire by the day, and he's expected to be there from 9 to 5 or whatever, fine, Yochalach by a Filibach Schir Yom, so he's not like an Eben. But a Kablon, when you hire him by the job as a contractor, he does it on his own time. He doesn't have to punch a clock or anything, so maybe you should say that doesn't make him an Eved, the fact that he has to finish the job. He's an Eved to the extent that he's an Eved. He's an Eved to La'atmo, that he himself wants to finish the job and get paid and be able to take another job. So maybe Rav Dosa would, now Rav Dosa is talking about Kablonis. We had the case Kiblu Kamalikta, where they did the Kablonis that we're going to harvest a field or weave a garment. Maybe Rav Dosa is only talking in that case that the poel doesn't have the ability to quit in the middle, and if he does, he has to take a penalty. Of Siriyim, he would say different. Maybe Rav would also say, maybe then we would say that's the distinction. Rav says the halacha is like Rav Dosa when it comes to a Siriyim, but not a Kablon. Problem with that is, me shiny lay. Does Rav Dosa in fact make that distinction? Well, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, a sochar is a poel, if you hire a worker, in the middle of the day, the worker hears that one of his close relatives has died, where now he's also an oval is also to do malacha, or he got a fever and he can't continue working. Im sochiru, so now, if this worker is a schir yom, if he's hired by the day, then you have to give him his pay, or actually it actually says half his pay, meaning you can't cancel him, you can't make him yodel like a sonia, it's going to cost more to hire somebody else in the middle of the day, therefore I'm going to deduct it from your salary, you can't do that because it was an onus. Im kablon, who knows him like kablonosa, and if he was a kablon, similarly, you have to pay him percentage-wise according to whatever amount he did so far. So we see, now we have to ask money. Okay, this braisa is anonymous, but which of these tanoim, the chachamim or Rav Dosa, would it be like? Ilei merabbanon, are you going to say that it's according to the rabbanon? My iri shama shemesle meser shachzatu chamad onis. Why would the braisa have to specifically mention cases where the worker is honest? Shila honest nami. If there's no onus, tol merabbanon yad peril ala yona. The rabbanon said that the worker can quit voluntarily for no onus at all, and he's not, and you can't deduct anything from what you owe him so far. Ella lav Rav Dosa. Evidently, this braisa must be going according to Rav Dosa. Ushmami no lo shayin le Rav Dosa meant chilus a kablonis. Evidently, then Rav Dosa does not make that distinction. Either way, he would say if there was no onus, then we can deduct from your salary or from the amount that you were supposed to be paid because yad peril alo yona. And if there was an onus, do we exempt that? Well, then it means there's no difference between a socher and a kablon. Both of them, Rav Dosa does not hold to this concept, but he doesn't hold that it applies to employer-employee relations. And therefore, so we're back to, how is Rav saying the halacha is like Rav Dosa, but on the other hand, saying poyo yachalasabai? The answer is, Amram Nachmiz, v'davar ovid v'divrei hakol. No, you could answer that this braisa, when we said that only if there was an onus do we not deduct anything from him, it's talking about where it's a dover or ovud. Now, we said before, if there was a dover or ovud, you are entitled to, if there was a dover or ovud, ordinarily you would be entitled to deduct a certain amount from what you were going to pay this worker. You socher aleihem, you hire somebody else at a higher price and charge the difference to him, or masan, you mislead them, you pretend that you're going to pay them more and you end up not. But when there was an onus, even if it's a dover or ovud, none of that applies. And in that case, the divrei hakol. In that case, the braisa is according to the chachamim as well. Even the chachamim who say that a poel has the ability to quit in the middle of the job say that does not apply to a dover or avod. You don't have the ability to quit in the middle, and if you do, you're going to have to take a penalty, unless there was an onus. If there was an onus, then even a dover or avod, we will exempt you from any such penalty, because it's an onus. What could you do?
I lost that one.
Okay, so according to the chachamim, it's like, if it's not a dover or avod, poyo yochel lachzaboy, he can quit anytime he wants and there's no penalty. Yad poyo alo yoy. If it's a dover or avod, though, then if he quits, there is a penalty. However, if it's a dover or avod, but he quit because of an onus, such as that there was a death in the family, then he's in the same category as a regular poyo, where it's not a dover or avod, and he can quit without any penalty because it was an onus. That's what we're saying, according to the Rabban. According to Rav Dosa, it would be somewhat different. According to Rav Dosa, ordinarily a worker does not have the ability to quit in the middle, and if he does, he has to have a penalty. If there was a dover or avod, all the more so, he gets a penalty. Yeah. Unless there was an onus, in which case, either way, dover or avod or not dover or avod, no penalty. Because it was an onus.
Rabban would say the dover or avod is no penalty.
It was by onus. It's a dover or avod. In that case, that's what we're saying. The dover or avod, divrei hakol. Okay, so if it's not a dover or avod, the chachamim will say you're allowed to quit without any penalty. Rav Dosa will say if you quit, there'll be a penalty. Dover or avod, but no onus, they'll both agree there'll be a penalty. Dover or avod, but there is an onus, or for that matter, not a governor of it, but there is an onus, they'll both agree that you can quit no penalty. So there is this braisa that says that if he quit in the middle because there was mess le mess or he got a fever, where we said l'chora only that implies you can only do it mitzat onus, that can be talked about, a governor of it. In which case, yes, both the Chachamim and Rav Dosa would agree that it takes an onus to pater you from any penalty.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What if the onus comes from the malach? Like he was using his arm and he swelled up.
So we're going to talk later on. We're going to talk in a couple of blocks, for example, about what happens if a person is hired to carry a burden and you end up giving him more than he was supposed to carry. So we'll see. We'll talk in a couple of blocks about the possibilities. Are you chayav for his injuries or not?
This is machmas malach. This is machmas malach.
No, but
I did what you asked me to do. But
on the other hand, you can argue he's a bar daf. He had the ability to do the malacha in a different way and not injure his arm or whatever, and therefore maybe you're not. Okay, we'll see in a couple of days what happens with that. Okay, so let's finish up the next couple of lines real quick and finish with Rav Dosa, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Okay, Tanan, let's see another Mishnah that bears on this. We learned, not another Mishnah, the end of our Mishnah said, Kolam Shana Yada Lachasona. We said in the Mishnah finished off that anybody who changes the terms of the agreement is Yada Lachasona. And anybody who reneges on the deal is Yada Lachasona. So I can understand why the Mishnah needs to tell us the words Kolam Shana Yada Lachasona, the Sasa Montana Kirab Yehuda. Namely, the Tana wants to teach us that Mishnah, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the case we discussed in the Mishnah, in Rashi on the Mishnah, where you gave wool to a dyer to dye one color, when he dyed it a different color, the machlokes in Baba Kama, Rabbi Meir says that it's considered he's a gazlan, he was koner the wool with the shinui, and he has to repay you the value of it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you look at how much his expenses were versus the increase in value of the wool, and you pay him the lesser of the two amounts. Fine, our Mishnah says, Kolam Hashanah, Yad Al-Hashanah, is telling us the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. It's a case, as the Gemara discussed in Baba Kama, either it's a case of Stam Va'achach machlokes, if we say that all three babas are considered one masechta, or even if not, the fact that it goes together with another din that says kol achozeba yad al-achasona, which is something that everybody agrees to, shows that the Mishnah wants to tell us that this is the halacha, bottom line.
When
yeah. Stam v'achasona, no, this is machlokas v'achasona. Then it means that's the halacha. Like, yeah. Ela kol achozeba yad al-achasona l'asu yamai. L'chura, what is the Mishnah trying to include with the words kol achozeba yad al-achasona? The Mishnah wants to tell us also the case of a worker going back on the deal, quitting in the middle, and then that would be Tana of the Mishnah is telling us that is telling us like Rav Dosa. So in that case, then that means the halacha, if we're going to say that that's what it means the halacha is like Rav Dosa, that a poil or a socher, again, because we said that a socher or a kablon, we said that Rav Dosa doesn't make that distinction. If he quits in the middle, then yada el ha-sona, that would contradict what Rav said, that poil yachalachabai. El Rav Dosa tauti kamar, so no, we have to say like this. Rav Dosa holds this din in both cases, both by a socher and a kablon. V'rav, sovalei kavasei b'chodo, polagalei b'chodo. So what it is Rav agrees with Rav Dosa in one case and disagrees with him in the other. Yes, the Tana of our Mishnah wants to tell us that Rav Dosa says kol achozeba yad al-chasona applies across the board. However, Rav is telling us no, because when it comes to a socher poyo yacholachavay after the bachtir yom with no penalty, when it comes to a kablon, yes, Rav Dosa doesn't make that distinction, but Rav is saying we should make that distinction, and a socher is not allowed to, not a, so a kablon is not allowed to quit in the middle, and if he does, he has to pay a penalty. Kol achozeba yad al-chasona. Rav Dosa is not making a distinction between socher and kablon. Either way, he says, you quit in the middle, you got to pay the price. You lose. Rav is saying, on the other hand, what we're saying is, Rav agrees with Rav Dosa in one case of a kablon and disagrees with him on a socher.
And therefore, the Mishnah has to
so therefore, when the Mishnah is saying kol achozeba yad al-achasona, yes, it's telling us that if some kind of worker, if he quits in the middle, is going to have to pay the price. According to Rav Dosa, it would be either a socher or a kablon. Rav would understand it to be talking only about a kablon, but a socher is entitled to quit in the middle without being yad al-achasona. La Surya Mai, what is that coming to include? Lava. Because we already have the older cases of the worker quitting in the middle. Lav la suya poya, lahuda would come to include the case where the worker quits in the middle, the chid abdosa. And then that would be like abdosa, who says that if the worker quits in the middle, he has to pay the penalty. The answer is no. Ella, rabdosa tautikama, no. We're saying rabdosa is saying his din in both cases, both a sacher or a kablon. Rav, sovalei kabasei b'chada, Rav agrees with him in the one case of a kablon. Or Polygalai Bahada and disagrees with him in the other.
According to Rabbi, it's coming to say everything.
According to Rabbi, it's coming to say only a Kablon.
We thought to say that.
Yeah, so we're saying
that is fine.
So we're saying that we're saying that if we assume that the words kolachozeva yada alatatayne in the Mishnah are referring to a worker, as opposed to, we're going to talk tomorrow another possibility of what it means, nothing to do with workers at all. But if we assume it's talking about a worker, yes, we could say it's a coin to Rabdosa, because according to the Chachamim, we would never say yada alatatayne. It is a coin to Rabdosa. What about Rav din poyo yachalachzavoy? He's saying it only about a socher. And Rabdosa would hold that it applies to that it doesn't apply to either one. Rabdosa would say always kolachozelo yada lahasayna, regardless whether you're a kablon or a sacher. The Chachamim would say yada lo yona regardless, kablon or sacher. Rav sort of splits the difference.
But what's the Mishnah saying?
So the Mishnah is saying according to Rabdosa. Kolachozelo yada lahasayna, meaning both a sacher or a kablon. But Rav would understand that Rav would say that no, it's true, Rabdosa holds that very well, but we don't have to agree with that. We can say the halacha is like Rabdosa when it comes to a kablon, and the halacha is like the chachamim when it comes to a kablon.
Even though the mission said an extra line last week, you know,
Well, it's not so much that Rav Tano Polig, but he is entitled to pick and to say that Rabdosa's din will apply in one case and the Chachamim's din will apply in a different case.
So we're trying to understand the mission as additional guidance.
Okay, so Tosfos actually discusses that. Tosfos says that for one thing, again, because the Gemara is going to continue with another possibility of what Kalachozebo Yadal Lachachona means. So therefore, we don't have to say, Bechlau, that Kalachozebo means to include a Koyal at all. Rav is able to say, don't worry about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a completely other case, which is not relevant to anything we were discussing thus far. As far as Rabdosa versus the Chachamim, we'll accept his din in the one case, but not in the other.
Thank you.